This is Isaac of Nineveh, back again with another edition of Hot Wind from the Desert. Today I would like to discuss just something that the Lord has brought up to my mind, to my attention, and that is the idea of rewards, or a reward, and that He is a rewarder. To begin with, my previous ideas about gaining rewards consisted of, well, you got something good or bad when you died, right? Like, if you lived well, you get a big reward at the end of your life, and that reward's heaven. If you did not live well, then you get a very negative or bad reward or wages when you die, which would be hell. And so it was ingrained in me that rewards were things that you work for at the until the very end. And I don't know if it was intentional or not, but somewhere along the way, I picked up the idea that you didn't get anything in life that had nothing to do with your current existence. Your rewards were all in heaven, and to do it when you know after you die, and then you get it. I think there was some degree of, or at least in the communication to me, that it was something selfish to expect rewards in this life, in that if you did something expecting a reward in this life, then that was selfish. But if you did it expecting it for the millennium or for heaven, then that was not selfish. That was unselfish, because those are godly rewards. And I even remember hearing at a youth conference one time, the speaker saying, it's good to be motivated by rewards that you're going to get when you get to heaven. And so the problem, I think, with that is that it's just simply intangible. And the other problem with it is it's not biblical. The other problem is that it's rooted in the idea that salvation only encompasses the eternal state of your soul, not the life that you live now. It completely disconnects the idea that the way you live now and what you do now has effect, even after you're saved, has effect on the rest of your life, and it has an effect on what's in heaven. Now, generally, rewards spoken in this context mean, your mansion or whatever is bigger, your mansion is closer to Jesus, or something like this, or your status in heaven is higher because of the life that you lived here, or something like that. And while there is definitely a degree of biblical truth to that, what I'd like to focus on, though, is a different understanding of reward, a relational understanding of reward, one that is based not in just the eternal state of your soul in your death, but one that's based upon a more mystical, relational view of salvation, articulated by Jesus himself when he said, this is eternal life, that you may know the one true God and the Son whom he has sent. So if eternal life then is knowing in the present, then this opens up the whole ballpark. And to me, if you view eternal life as something that begins in this life, and you say that God is good all the time, not as a mantra, but as something you sincerely believe, then you have already an ongoing relationship with a God who calls himself a rewarder in Hebrews 11:6. Now, if we take the analogy that Jesus used, that God is a good father, does a good father delay in rewarding his kids? Or he's like, well, you know, son, you did really well in that, but you know what? I'm not going to give you a thing until you graduate college. So wait another 18 years. So the idea that rewards in heaven are carrots on sticks to make us live life well now to gain heaven is, I think, a little skewed. What really got me thinking about this is, for one, Yahweh tells Abraham, I am your reward, your exceedingly great reward, meaning that relationship with him, this friendship with him in the present, and this is Old Covenant, this is pre-Old Covenant, this is way Old Testament, a relationship with him was in itself a reward. And of course he rewarded him with the blessing of Isaac, the blessing that all the people on the earth should be blessed through his line. I mean, is that not a present reward? He saw the partial fulfillment of the promise with his own eyes. And I'm sure The communion that Abraham had with God was in itself a reward that he considered more precious than just, you know, being a blessing to all the nations on the earth. In Matthew, Jesus says, if you pray in the secret, then the Lord will reward you openly. The Father will reward you openly. Well, does that mean on Judgment Day? Does that mean when it's all said and done, and oh, here he is, he's great, and that's what we're to be living for? It doesn't seem that Jesus' typical teaching was to be delayed. When you have the premise that what Jesus says, that his teaching in the Gospels, is only meant for later on, then I think you can kind of miss the point of a lot of, and the impact of a lot of his messages. He is combining that with praying and giving in secret, and he says the Lord will reward you openly. To me, that means it's something that is an ongoing daily thing in your life in the present, not in heaven. How is he going to reward you open? And he ties this to a daily activity, a daily life activity. And he says your reward will be open. He's making the stark contrast there between praying in private and the way the Lord's going to reward you openly. So I think that to postpone it like that is doing a disservice to many people. But what I really want to concentrate on and focus on here is the verse in Hebrews, Hebrews 11:6, where he says that without faith it's impossible to please him. And, you know, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who seek him. This, in other translations, that was the King James, it says something to the effect that he rewards those who seek him. This is an incredible verse. And it hit me square between the eyes, because for so much of my life, I have had this idea that the rewards only come at the end. And, you know, I shouldn't seek a reward from the Lord. But this is saying because he is so good, he rewards in the present those who seek him. And I think part of the reward is getting to know him better. And I don't know why for so long my eyes have been closed to this reality. And so when you think about it a little more, what does it mean, getting to know him better? Well, that means that he reveals himself to you in ways that you were previously unaccustomed to, that you experience him to a level that you were not accustomed to in the past. And it's been my testimony that I have physically felt the presence of the Lord in different ways, and it has changed over the years. At one point, I would not even believe you could feel him physically. But now at this point in my life, I felt it kind of irregularly, but at times I have. And if I keep on seeking him, then I know that he is going to continue to reward me with a greater sense of his presence, more faith, more hope, more dreams, more visions, more prophetic experiences, greater love for my brothers and my sisters, greater love for the people around me, because when he gives himself, he is love, so he gives that love. And so as we seek him, he rewards us. So I would just like to finish this podcast. This is a short one, but I'd like to finish this podcast with just this idea that he rewards those who seek him. And he does that because he is good. Now, I looked all of this up in the Greek and everything else, and it does definitely say he who believes that he is. But it still seems odd to me that in the middle of the book, you know, towards the end of the book, actually, of Hebrews, that the writer would exhort people to believe in God. It just strikes me as very odd. Why would he say you have to believe there's a God? As if, you know, the people here he was writing to had a problem with atheism or something. And what I think, and this is just my interpretation, is that he's not saying that you need to believe there's a God. Like, you need to abandon atheism and jump into monotheism. What I believe he's saying is that you need to believe that there is this kind of God, that there is this rewarder God, that there is this God who is so good that he rewards those who seek him. It's that kind of God that you need to believe in to receive the rewards. And I think a lot of people miss the rewards because they're believing in a God that's not that good. They're believing in a God that doesn't reward. And so this verse has no application to them, except maybe, you know, maybe at the end of their life, then we'll get a reward. But it says he is a rewarder, or he rewards those who seek him. It's a plural thing. And again, it's matched in the verse with the verb seek, seeking. As if you can imagine two parallel lines, right? Like, as you seek, you get the rewards. And they're like falling down, right? It does not, to me, it just cannot be just for the end time or the millennium.
And there's really more to it than even that. Just one final thought, and that is, these rewards that he gives to those who diligently seek him, they don't happen at the end of time, and they do, but not only at the end of time, and not only do they happen in our lifetimes, but I think a lot of us have a mentality that, well, there's a test, and God is a pass-fail kind of God. Like, if you pass and you get the reward, and if you fail, you don't. But I would like to submit to you that as a loving Father, he rewards even D's, D minuses, and in some cases, just because he's gracious, he'll even reward a flat-out failure. Because God doesn't look on the outside, he looks at the heart. And he's looking at the internal motivations, not necessarily the end result. So even a test that he sends himself, to whatever degree that you pass it, whatever degree you do well on it, to whatever degree you've interacted with it, it's more organic, it's much more complex than just this simple idea that God sent me a test, I failed it. No reward, no moving on. But I would submit to you that God gives us these tests to develop our character, to develop our spirituality, to develop our maturity, and he is waiting to see how well we do on those tests, and he rewards us accordingly. And this is what Jesus says, he who rewards all people according to their works. According to their works, not just, okay, well, X, Y, Z, you've done it, fail, pass. It's not that black and white. And I think in the parable of the talents, you see the reward coming in measure to the faith they put in investing the talents or using the talents. And so I think that if you're out there and you're in a test or whatever, I think Jesus is still going to reward you no matter how bad you end up doing on the test. The reward is still coming. It's still coming. I can't see, even if the reward is to have the test again, that is still gracious. I mean, in school, if you fail a test, you can't take it again, can you? So even a reward of the same test, a reward that comes, maybe it's a small reward, maybe it's not to the same degree that he had in mind for you because you haven't developed or something like this, but still I would say that he's much wiser than pass-fail.
As it was for Abraham, may it be also for us. And as Jesus said, may it be also for us. This is Isaac of Nineveh, and this has been Hot Wind from the Desert.